I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. So it's Tuesday morning and time for another random rumination, as I like to call them. A stream of consciousness, just some thoughts that go around my mind that I kind of just need to get out and share with you guys. And the hot topic right now, what everyone is talking about, especially in the UK, a sudden appearance, shall we say, of a brand new party, which seems to be capturing the attention of thousands, if not millions of people very quickly, and has shaken up British politics in a way even I've not seen in a very long time. And this is a party called Restore, being headed up by somebody called Rupert Lowe. Now, Rupert Lowe has been in politics for a long time. Everyone kind of understood where he stands. And I think it's Great Yarmouth, I think, is where his constituency is. And they love him. You know, he's very much a man of the people. And he's a man of principle and standards. He's a man who runs his own farm, so he understands what it takes to be a provider in this country and to obviously contend with government bureaucracy and the rest of it. He's been a part of many smear campaigns and attempts against him. He's all in all, he's basically the perfect, like, messiah-like figure, you know, for people who are considered what's called, like, the right of centre in the UK. And he's very much a hard stance on things like immigration and policies that are basically anti-British values, you know. And we have been talking on this channel for a while about the political climate at large and how it all seems poised to be going towards a very specific direction, which, again, to preface before we go any further, I am not a leftist or a right winger or anything like that. I don't believe in the paradigm of left versus right in a political sense. I believe in good versus evil. I believe in that duality principle. I think that's true. But I think when it comes to political concepts, too much weight and baggage kind of gets lumped onto those, and many assumptions about what somebody believes can very quickly be made, which are false about either side, you know. And I think also with how charged people get politically with stuff like this, I don't think anything fruitful comes from picking those type of sides. I'm not saying like I'm a centrist either. I think the whole system is corrupt. And this is the thing about Rupert Lowe. He himself seems to be of a similar mindset, which is why I think he's appealing to a lot of people. Even he understands and has been quoted saying the entire governmental system needs to be changed. It's completely untenable. It doesn't work. It's broken. And it's filled with career politicians who are doing terrible things and are looking out for each other, who don't care about the people. And he is, honestly, like, I listen to him and you know, I'm a Christian and I try not to be of this world, you know. But my flesh, when I listen to him, is screaming, yes, this is great. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. This is finally what we needed in this country. This is the man who's going to lead us and take it all back and give us the freedoms we are losing on a daily basis and bring back the stability we need to all the markets, to the taxes, to the housing market and the rest of it that we just do not have in this country. He's going to bring back our ability to speak freely and, you know, all the good stuff. He definitely seems to be of that kind. And what's very attractive about him is that he's completely unapologetic. And the, you know, what we call the left-wing liberal media has already begun the smear campaign against him since announcing his party, Restore. And they're already doing the calling him isms and ists, you know, all of it, whatever it is. And he's like, I don't care. So what? You know, he's completely just unapologetically who he is. And he is not backtracking in any way. And he is openly saying, we are going to completely reverse immigration. And we're going to remove people who have come here legally and illegally. Because a lot of it's a farce and a lie. And these people have done nothing but destroy our country. And he's just not even apologizing for it. He's just not at all apologizing. He's like, yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. It's going to be tough. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be a rough ride. But we're doing it regardless because we have to do it or else we won't have a country. You know, and everyone's like, he said the thing you're not supposed to say. So the establishment is angry, but he doesn't care. And this is basically the hero that Britain has been waiting for. He seems perfect, doesn't he? And I don't know the man. I've never met the guy. He's saying all the right things as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, like I said, my flesh, when listening to him, is like, yes, yes, exactly, exactly that. This is what we need. Let's do it, lads. Let's get together. Let's take back our country and make this right again. Let's make it safe to be here once more. Let's make it so we can live here once more and not have to leave in order just not to be second-class citizens in our own country anymore. Let's change this, you know. And the whole world is seemingly in support of this as well. You've got many content creators, even outside of the UK, saying, thank God this man has arrived. Go on, UK. You've got our support. Do it. Do what needs to be done. We've got your back, you know. I think even like Asmongold has heavily been supporting this guy. Elon Musk has been supporting this guy now. And he's kind of come in stark opposition to another party, which Rupert Lowe got kicked out of not that long ago, called Reform in the UK. And I know for many of my listeners from the UK, this is just, yeah, we all know this, but to my people out, and most of my audience is American, so I'm giving you a story here, you know? And I'm summarizing grossly, so go and look into this yourself. But basically, Rupert Lowe was kicked out of the party. I think he was considered a little bit too extreme by Nigel Farage's standards. And I think also people liked him more than Nigel Farage, who is the leader of Reform. And Nigel seems to have this issue where he can't not be the golden boy, center of attention star in every room he's in. So I think he got rid of Rupert Lowe through fear of like being taken out or removed or replaced as a leader because of this other person who is a lot more hardline, has more balls than Farage, you know, and is clearly just saying what the British people really want. And Farage is beating around the bush, trying to be more a part of the establishment than bringing down the establishment. And I think that veneer has been cracking. So when Rupert Lowe was kicked out, I think Farage thought he'd be done with it. But Rupert Lowe, being the competent, self-sufficient man of principle he is, says, no, I'll just go start my own party. And he has. And it already has more members, I've heard, than the Liberal Democrats. I think it's like 60, maybe probably in 70,000 members now. And that seems like a small number to people outside of the UK. But when it comes to the... people, a lot of people vote for parties, but no, a paid member of a party is something different. It comes with paying dues and obviously going to meetings. So those numbers are actually significantly smaller than, let's say, the majority of the UK population who takes part in voting that seems to be supporting them one way or the other. Those who join the party are hardcore. And those numbers are always a lot smaller. Always a lot smaller. And the Lib Dems is, I think it's like the third most, or at least was the third most popular party in the UK, next to the Conservatives and the Labour Party. And it seems like the numbers have just surpassed already in like 3 days of announcing this party, this well-established, being around for decades party, you know. So this is very quickly gaining momentum. And it's just sweeping the UK, and social media is working to his advantage. The way he speaks is working to his advantage. And the British, the sentiment of the British people is definitely at breaking point now, where we all feel, or a lot of us feel, who are actually paying attention or care about our country, is if we don't do something now, there's no going back. We've lost it. And there is no more beating around the bush. We kind of have to do what needs to be done now, before it gets any worse, or there is zero chance of us returning back to normal or even having a country in, let's say, 50 years' time. It's gone. It's over. It'll be colonized. It'll be removed. British values won't exist anymore as a concept. Our culture will be erased. That is basically what's going to happen. And everyone has already, the pendulum swung maybe about 3-4 years ago fully. And it started in 2016 with the whole Trump situation, you know. And I think the whole liberal, communist, socialist, social justice, left-wing, super left-wing, Marxism stuff has now had its time, and the pendulum has swung hard the other way as a reaction to that situation. And we've seen that happening, and no longer are people scared to be called sexist, homophobic, or racist. It's kind of like, no, we've had enough of that. We're done now. We're done with that, you know. The smears have stopped having power over people, and you are finding this, like I said, a huge pendulum swing. And this is kind of like the apex of that swing. We're reaching that point where it's getting higher and higher and higher. And I don't know how long it's going to stay up here, but something's about to happen. And obviously we have a couple of years yet before there is an election in the UK. If Keir Starmer makes it another 2 years, because right now he's the most unpopular prime minister to ever exist. Everything he is doing is destroying our country further. Everyone hates him. Even his own party hates him. He's been wrapped up in a scandal involving him with the Epstein files through his delegate for the US and the ambassador through Mandelson. So that's become a whole thing, and he's barely holding on by the skin of his teeth, really. So he may actually end up, there may actually have to be a general election very soon. But the problem is, if that happens, then that actually might be strategically a good move for Labour, because Rupert Lowe won't be able to get his party established well enough to take part in that election and win. And it's tentative, can you see? It's tentative. And I was hearing people talk about, well, Rupert Lowe is trying to change the system by still being in the system, peaceably. If he doesn't win or get control and do this through legal channels, peaceably, through the rule of law, you know, which is all above board, the next person that comes along will not do this peaceably, because the British people are feeling the sense of, we must do something now. If we don't do something now, it's over. So if Rupert doesn't get it done, the next person will, and that's probably where there will be violence. And obviously no one wants that. No one wants that. That's terrible. Yeah, we don't want violence. But I observe these things. So I've given you a summary there of what's basically going on, roughly. Okay, roughly. Go. There's many content creators talking about this now. I'm just one of them, you know. But I obviously this is understanding conspiracy. So we're going to take this down a little bit of a weird tangent now. And I might be talking about some concepts, if you're new to this channel, that you've probably never heard of before, and might come under the category of schizo, if you play that schizo normie psycho thing, you know. I'm going to tell you some things now which are kind of hard truths that I believe are real, which we have to also consider when looking and observing these things. And that's what I've been doing. I've been observing and taking notes and trying not to react too emotionally, because my heartstrings get pulled when I hear these things too. No, this is my home. I love my home and my country, and I hate to see what's being done to it. Okay, so if there's any hope that, you know, God's moving in a way that's going to bring someone who's going to help turn things around for us, because, you know, then I would love for that to be the case. And I will watch tentatively in support as much as I can from a distance, you know, and see where it goes for now. Because politics is like the weather. Anything can change it in an instant, you know. It could be warm one day and freezing the next, and it's the same for politics. We just don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. It's volatile here in the UK, and so I'm watching. But let's take it down this other route. So I have been talking about Albert Pike's letter to Mazzini quite a lot, and Albert Pike was a high level Freemason, a 33rd degree Freemason, a Master Mason of the Scottish Rite. He was a very well renowned. He was also a member of the Odd Fellows, and he was very much well connected within secret societies, rich, influential figures who have a business in controlling narratives, you know. And he was communicating with one of the members of the Italy group, you know, Mazzini. Who was a high-level politician involved in his own region, a revolutionary and all sorts of other things. And he basically was talking to Mazzini about how we're going to, over the next two centuries, century and a half, we're going to foment three world wars, which will solidify Lucifer as the king of the world, or at least the main religion of the world, which will guide mankind into the next step of human evolution. Basically, that's where the Theosophists kind of took it after the fact. But he was a Luciferian, and he believes Lucifer's the good guy. No, I told you we're going into schizo territory here. Now, this is what they believe. I'm not making this up. They confess this in their own books. You know, go read Morals and Dogma. They love Lucifer. They consider him the guiding principle, the light of the world, the one who brings knowledge, the knowledge bringer, a Prometheus analog who stole fire from the gods to give it to humanity, you know. He is a good guy who freed Adam and Eve from the evil Adonai. He is the counter to Adonai, the equal and opposites to Adonai, the god of the Abrahamic faiths, you know. And they were forever in this cosmic struggle between the light and the dark. And Lucifer is the light, Adonai is the dark, you know. And so it's Gnosticism with a lot of other random stuff thrown in there. And that is fundamentally their belief system. But to get to this point where everyone accepts the Luciferian religion as the one, Albert Pike lays out this plan. And in the letter, it's laid out that we're going to start a war, a First World War. We're going to then pit kingdom against kingdom, basically. But after the aftermath of this, we're going to then start releasing the atheists, the nihilists, and the socialists, and we're going to get these to destabilize the Western world. And through this, there'll be a dualism between Nazism, you know, and these ideas of left versus right, to the point of a backlash will be orchestrated, a pendulum swing, which will cause the Second World War. And then through the Second World War, we'll establish the nation state of Israel to destabilize the Middle East, to have a foil to set up against the Muslim nations. And then through this war in the Middle East, everyone will be dragged in for the Third World War. But we'll make sure to unleash the atheists and the nihilists and the secularists and the communists onto the Western world first to suppress and subdue Christianity as we know it today, you know, back in his day. And through being called an evil, bigoted, traditionalist, backwards, desert-worshipping, crazy person who believes in the sky daddy, Christianity will be pushed down and suppressed and made weak. And people will be too scared to stand up for their faith through fear of being called an ism or an ist. And we saw that happen, didn't we? And then it says, once we've done that for long enough, and obviously this comes with destabilizing Europe, changing it, its morals, its background, its Christian heritage and its culture, we will then release Christianity, which has been held down, and let them react to the situation that we caused without them realizing we caused it. And then Christianity will then go on a crusade to defend the Middle East from the Muslim invaders and even the Muslims in their own countries. And there'll be a huge religious third world war between the three main Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And this war will basically exhaust every nation to the absolute ends. Okay, like to the end of the wits. Everyone's going to get dragged into this, and it's going to be a bloody horrible turmoil, a never-ending one, seemingly. And at the end of this seemingly terrible war, mankind will be left disillusioned with God and religion and spirituality. They'll look at the war and the bloody mess that was caused by these religions and say, these religions cannot be true. This cannot be right. Look at what it's done to us. Look what it's made us do to each other. There must be something else. And that, so saith Albert Pike, is when we'll give the people the doctrine of Lucifer, because humanity have this desire within them naturally to give over their worship to a higher power. They can't help it. They have deistic spirits, as he describes it. And without a direction to send those deistic spirits anymore, because they're completely disillusioned with all the Abrahamic religions, they will go towards Luciferianism. Now, Luciferianism, it won't be called that. It'll be more like an Eastern mystic Taoist type blend of monotheistic polytheism, if you can understand. It's like, yes, there are many gods, but we're all also God, and God is just one consciousness. So it's kind of a bit of a mix of everything put together. It's a universalist type religion. It's a coexist type religion. Every religion kind of had it right a little bit, but they were all also wrong individually. It's all one thing, you know. That kind of religion is what will replace it. But it's mapped out to get to that point. We need to destroy Christendom as it is today, especially in Europe. And to do that, we need to foment these three world wars. Now, coming back, I know there's a lot of contention about this letter, because the language in the letter uses things like Zionism and Nazi. And if it was written in the middle of the late 1800s, those things didn't exist yet, so that couldn't possibly be there. However, say what you want about that. Now, what all we have right now are rewritings of the original letter, to the best of what people remember and what we had from records, because it actually went missing in the 70s, so they say. And also, it was only discovered in 1911, so they say as well. So now they could say the thing never even existed, if they want to cover it up. Say what you want about the timeline of where this letter came from and what was said in it exactly. Everything I've just described has been happening and has happened to the dots, to the very core of that letter. One thing after another has happened, exactly as written in that letter. So it clearly is some kind of roadmap that somebody's following. The people who control the narrative are following that plan. So we need to pay attention, regardless of if you want to argue over the authenticity of this thing. It's still playing out the way it's written in that thing. And I think right now we've just had a good 50 years of, maybe 50 to 60 years, of the nihilists and the atheists suppressing Christianity in the West. the long march through the schools, you know, re-educating the children to be atheistic secularists against the traditionalist Christian values that of their home nations type of stuff. And now we find Christianity is being unrestrained, as documented in this letter, and the pendulum is now swinging hard in reaction to this suppression, and it's springing up violently. And now what we have is a rise of a nationalist Christianity, a Deus Vult, let's go get 'em type of Christianity, a war mentality Christianity, a let's have another crusade Christianity. And that was the point. Because to have Christians murder in a war, because we're quite a peaceable people when you actually get down to it, you know, if you look at the teachings of Christ, turn the other cheek is a pretty core tenet. Peter, put away your sword, stop cutting off people's ears, that's not how we do this, it's pretty much Jesus's thing. Now look, there's something to be said to defend yourself, and you know, you can do that, but preemptively going out there and murdering people on the assumption they're going to murder you is murder. Okay, so there's a fine line here between self-defense and murder, and Christianity understands that you can protect what's yours and your family and so forth from the evil invading hordes. Old Testament God certainly told his people to go and destroy evil off the face of the earth. I get why you can make these precedents, but when Christ came, it came to send a different message, a new way, a way that actually will work in the long run, and it's peace, love, and sacrifice, okay? And that's sacrificing yourself, not others, for the greater good, okay? Now, that needed to be knocked out of Christianity to get them to fight in a war in the future. So what you do is you foment a situation that's absolutely heinously horrible by barbarians to make Christians angry enough to want to snap back and get righteously angry and fight and kill. And I feel like they've been doing that for the better part of 50 years, especially since Tony Blair opened the floodgates in the UK and the rest of it, and what the European Union has been doing in mass unfettered immigration. It certainly set the scene to foment that type of angry attitude against the invading other, right? And that it's a plan. That was the point. They want to get Christians angry and want to get Christians violent. And that's how you do it. You create the situation to foment such feelings. This is Understanding Conspiracy, guys, okay? If you came to this channel, this is what you should expect to be hearing, because this is what the conspiracy is. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just telling you what their plan is. Either way, Christianity is now unrestrained, and the angry, violent Christian nationalist is rising up, ready to fight, okay? So when I see, coming back to the point of this video at the start, someone like Rupert Lowe appear saying all the right things to lead and sharpen into a attack position the numbers now who have this sentiment and feeling of, we want our Christian nation back, we're going to take it by force if necessary, we now have somebody out there who's willing to lead that charge, suddenly appear and just sweep and capture the nation's heart instantly. Now, I'm not saying Rupert Lowe is controlled, I'm not saying that, I'm not saying he has bad intentions. I'm saying our battle is not against flesh and blood. We are up against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is Ephesians 6:12. So when it comes down to people moving on the chessboard, I think a lot of people are pawns who don't even know that they're being played. And Rupert Lowe is just a natural phenomenon that springs and grows on the fertile ground of chaos we're currently living within. This is what you create a situation like this in the Europe, you get a Rupert Lowe, okay? And he doesn't have to know that he's going to be used for this war that they're planning. He can genuinely think he's just trying to save his country and so forth. So this is why I plead ignorance before malevolence most of the time, because I think a lot of people don't really understand that we're being played on a big scale, including a lot of these people that lead these things too. So I'm not willing to like disparage him in any way. I hope he hears this message, and I hope he takes on board that there are greater powers behind the scenes at play here sometimes that might not always be so obvious. And I hope he's wise enough to understand this. He's been in the game a lot longer than us. He's seen the den of vipers that British politics and the House of Commons actually is, you know. So he maybe is wise to this type of thing. Who knows? But we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. I can't remember who said it, but I think it was Albert Pike himself again. But it says, if the people need a hero, we'll provide it. Okay. A lot of our leaders who are pressure release valves for the tension are given to us. It seems like Farage was the golden boy for a while. He got us Brexit. He got us out of the European Union. He wants to reform Britain, you know. And a lot of people were joining that kind of thing, thinking everything was going to change. But then he started doing exactly the things he said he wasn't going to do or was going to reverse. And he started letting members into his party, which capitulate to the multicultural diversity agenda, you know. Seemingly trying to make friends with the establishment rather than bring down the establishment. And that made people disillusioned because they backed that horse heavily, thinking he was our man, he was our guy. And now everyone's saying, no, Rupert Lowe's our guy. He's the one that's actually saying the things we wish Nigel Farage and Reform would say. But then it's like, I look at the narrative of the timeline of this, and it's just so perfect. He's like, Rupert Lowe is like the man who has stared the establishment in the face and is unapologetically saying, no, it's over for you, and has been persecuted and attacked and wrongly left to go on his own and landed on his own feet. And he's very much a Saint George fighting the dragon type figure, you know, and nothing can stop him or keep him down. And he's got this sympathetic ear of the UK for that reason, you know. And look, I want this to be real. I really do. My flesh is screaming, yes, great, things might actually change. Maybe I'll be able to buy a house in 5 years' time if this works out, you know. Maybe there won't be a scarcity problem for property anymore if the mass unfettered immigration of our country is dealt with and there's actually space once again, you know. All these type of things. Maybe there is a future here, and I want to think and feel all these things. I do. Like my flesh is telling me yes, but the Holy Spirit is whispering in my ear and tugging me back gently, saying, just take a step back here and think. Just think. Don't build up treasures here. Build up treasures in heaven. Everything here is vanity. It's sand through the fingers. It's temporary. Kingdoms rise and fall. Leaders come and go, but the only thing that is eternal is Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven and the kingdom, and that's all we should be focusing on. So I have to correct myself sometimes, but when you're in it, when you're living it, it's hard. It's really hard. And I'm not trying to denigrate anybody who's thinking and feeling the excitement, and rightfully so. The circumstances we have been put into are heinous. The rape scandal, you know, the rape gang scandals and what we're discovering is happening here. And obviously the Epstein files being released are showing us that we are really up against pure evil here and something has to be done. And anything that we find on the world stage that like looks like that's going in our favor, I understand the desire to want to put all your eggs in that basket and go. But at the same time, like, this world is corrupt and fallen, and I don't think anything's going to save the world, or at least the devil's overlay on top of the world currently, where we think it's the world, you know, through the corporate capitalist systems and the technocratic systems and the corrupt political systems and medical institutions and media institutions that kind of control and keep us in this matrix narrative world that we think is reality, which is all just fiction. Like, that's going to fall. And a lot of this stuff is really... it seems like it's all really geared to keep that illusion going. And God's creation, the real world, doesn't need any of this. What we consider our creature comforts and the things that keep us safe and happy from our own perspective. You know, bread and circus. The devil's overlay is going to fall. And you're not going to be able to save the world as it's kind of described in the Bible. But what we can do is keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, which we are truly citizens of. And hopefully... bring it here with us in some small ways. Obviously, the kingdom will be brought with God, but so shall it be on earth as it is in heaven, is our aim. You know, and that's the end goal, and that's what will happen in the end. And as a Christian, I'm empathetic to my Christian brothers and sisters out there who want to fight. I am. And I'm happy to see revivals of Christianity as a reaction to the evils that are observable in today's world. I am. But I'm also painfully aware and not ignorant to the agendas that evil have at play. And it involves playing Christians like a fiddle to get to the ends that they're looking for. We are a means to their end in their plan. Now look, Man makes plans and God laughs. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm not saying they're going to succeed in what they plan to do here. The plans succeed in so far as much as we actually go along with the script and take part in the play. And I'm hoping videos like this can put a wrench in that, or at least slow it down a little bit and at least give some people cause to stop for a second and think before they react. So let's just see what happens with Rupert Lowe. Let's see what happens with this party, Restore, and let's just keep a cool head throughout all of this. Let's remember that nothing's happening in a vacuum here. There are enemies, there is evil in this world who have agendas that have been in play for a long time, and they have tried their best, I think, to think a few steps ahead of us. And we have to remember things were said like, we will give the people their leaders. Okay, we have to remember that. And we have to remember as well that we are looking to remove Christianity and get people to believe in Lucifer as the only true God. And Lucifer is just a symbol for man, for ourself, for the flesh. Okay, mankind will take control of their own evolutionary process and ascend to be as gods themselves, without the shackles of the Abrahamic Adonai faith holding us down anymore into the abyss of the physical reality. You know, it's new age, airy fairy ascension, fifth dimensional consciousness expansion stuff. Okay, that's going to be the Luciferian religion. Just remember that. And that's the aim. That's the new world religion for the new world order. And they are patient, and they have been doing this for a long time. Don't be a puppet. Don't be a pawn on their chessboard. Cut the strings, get off the board. So I'm going to leave that there. Let me know what you think down below, how you're feeling about this. Please don't take offense to what I'm saying. I'm on your side. I'm trying my best here to be cool about this. I want it to be real too. I understand the problems we're facing today and the extreme actions that are going to have to be taken to reverse what's been done to us. I'm not ignorant of any of this, but like I said, I'm also not ignorant of the wider agendas at play. So yeah, I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.